And one of the things that really interests you is the change in the way we speak, whether we have seen the death of RP received pronunciation, whether posh accents are dying out, what's happening to regional dialects, and so on. The British Library's Sound Archive is the place to go to answer those questions, and its lead curator is Johnny Robinson.
One feature that I think is worth noting is the feature called roticity.
Roticity, new one on me.
Yes, that refers to the pronunciation of an R sound after a vowel. So typically the word nurse, in my accent, doesn't have a R sound, but some speakers would say nurse, or the word far, they might say far. But it used to be much more widespread in British English. It's now associated with Scottish English, Northern Irish English. But actually, we've got recordings from 50, 60 years ago where that pronunciation pattern was heard right across the southern half of England.
I'd have never noticed that.
Yeah, no, very much in places like Buckinghamshire, Berkshire, Oxfordshire that you would not expect nowadays. And that's basically a sound change that started happening in London about 200 years ago and has gradually percolated outwards from London to the point where now pretty much you could say that England and Wales are what we would call non-rhotic, so they don't pronounce the R, other than in places like Bristol and the West Country, you still get it, and a little pocket in Lancashire, you still get it.
Well, let's hear a chap called Harry Appleby. He was a farm labourer from Coleshill in Buckinghamshire.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the men that wasn't in regular work, they used to have more or less a day off and have a good booze up, I tell you, and all that. All used to have little stalls of selling this, that and the other. The old women used to walk from here to Wickham and buy a fair amount of stuff cheap.
That's interesting, isn't it, Johnny? Because that was from 1957, and he even put an R in orf.
Well, yes, he pronounced had a long vowel in orf. No, yeah, absolutely. But he said regular work.
Yeah.
He said other, so he pronounced the R. And that's a speaker recorded in a village called Coles Hill, which is just outside the M25. And so that was Buckinghamshire 60 years ago, but that's a very rare feature now in that part of the country.
And now there's one that's dear to me because I come from Cardiff, more of that later, but it's the A, isn't it? The bath or bar.
Yes, I mean, one of the main distinctions in British English between a northerner and a southerner is the length of the vowel in words like bath. Then you immediately can tell something about a speaker.
It's a class thing, isn't it?
Well,
or a class thing.
it's bound up with all sorts of social identity, but certainly there's a geographical difference as well. So about 400 years ago, we think most people said bath and grass and last, and then London has started to lengthen that vowel to bath, grass, last, which doesn't sound very London nowadays.
Well, we've got another clip. Tell us what that one is.
Well, this is a clip that illustrates the three different pronunciations, and we'll hear three very distinct differences.
I had a friend of mine, who built an extension, and I learnt so much off him plastering. I mean, I can plaster a whole wall now.
I went to school when I was four, or even younger. Probably I was in the nursery class.
People are just getting a huff about being Essex girls and this lot. I laugh at most of them, I mean, apart from the ones that are really rude and really personal. I laugh at the rest of them.
That one really worries me, because I used to be a newsreader, television newsreader, yep. And the trouble I had trying to decide whether it should be Pakistan, and, nightmare.
And that's one of the words that is very much changing as part of this process. So we heard in that clip one speaker saying plaster. That's very much still the northern pronunciation that would have been heard everywhere. That gradually lengthened to class, which is what we heard the second speaker say. She's from Bristol. That was the sound that percolated out of London. But that sound changed again in London to laugh. Yeah. And that's now spread out. So now across the whole of the southeast of England, you get an R sound. In the West Country, you get an A sound. And in the north, you still get an A sound as a result of this ongoing change.
Can I try a theory of mine on you, that if it's a port city, you're more likely to have the harder? Because, again, I come from Cardiff, right? Cardiff, Arms Park, Cardiff, Arms Park, and all that sort of thing. Liverpool, the same Hare. Newcastle, the same Hare. All three port cities. Anything in that?
It would be lovely if there were a link. I mean, effectively, what you're looking at there is all three of those cities are part of the older pronunciation. And actually, the vowel you mentioned there, Cardiff, it's actually a really interesting vowel in Cardiff, isn't it? Because it's Cardiff. And in Liverpool, it's
More Cardiff. You're right, Cardiff.
And in Liverpool, that would be Cardiff. And in Newcastle, that'd be Cardiff. So that's a vowel also, that's not really as a result of sound change.
All right, one of my few forays into this entirely frustrated. But one of the things that I really don't like is the glottal stop and what's happened to that.
Well, that's where people say better and butter, but that appears to have spread like wildfire, as we'll hear in this clip.
We earn his money. We're not like other people who just get it given to him. I think, if you can work your way up, it's better than just coming straight into money.
I've always blamed Tony Blair for this because I thought he wanted to get down with the kids and so he dropped.
Well, certainly there was a lot of interest in Tony Blair changing the speech patterns for different audiences, and one of the things he might have done would be to use a glottal stop. But what appears to have happened is that feature appears to have spread out to the point where young speakers now use glottal stops very, very frequently.
Routinely.
Yes, and I think one of the interesting things about it, unlike those first two features, is it's something that people can switch on and off. So they might use glottal stops with their friends, but the minute they come into a formal situation, a job interview, broadcasting on the radio, they switch back into a more formal thing. So it's something that they can style shift with.
Are we allowed to have opinions on it? I think it's horrible.
Well, I mean, the great thing I think about language is we all have opinions about all sorts
of
things.
Exactly,
and these change over time too. But yeah, we all have our little pet hates.
What about local, regional level?
So, yes, alongside this picture of nationwide change, things are happening at different rates locally. So I think we've got a wonderful clip here of a speaker who illustrates something that's happening in Yorkshire at the moment.
I find it a lot when you go on holiday and you meet different people from different places. It's the Londoners, really. Like, we'd go to the bar and say, "Got half a Coke," and they just rag you all the time, and it's Coke, because that's how they would say it.
Hmm.
So what we hear there is that's quite a modern Yorkshire pronunciation. She said Kirk. Now, an older Yorkshire pronunciation would be Cork, slightly different vowel, but not the vowel used in the south of England or in other accents. So it's still very much an iconic Yorkshire vowel. So older speakers might say Cork and a Hopsaw, but younger speakers are beginning to say Kirk or a Herpsir. And that was a pronunciation pattern first recorded in Hull that appears to have spread quite rapidly, but only really in an area around Hull and Yorkshire.
Right. Well, now, what this is all leading up to is received pronunciation,
yes,
because I haven't been with the BBC for 60 years, but not far off. And when I joined, the idea of a newsreader using a regional accent or any corruption of received pronunciation, total anathema. We're not going to use an example here because we have our own model for this. Whether he'll appreciate being described like that, he is Jacob Rees-Mogg. Good morning to you, Jacob.
Good morning. That is the best introduction I've ever had. Thank you so much.
Just say something to us. Just anything you like in your RP, if you agree it's an RP accent.
I take it as a compliment, but I've been very interested in the conversation, and I was thinking, actually, of how much the Queen's voice has changed.
Uh-huh.
And that if you listen to her very early broadcasts, she says she's very hippie to be broadcasting with Princess Margaret Rose, and Her Majesty doesn't say hippie anymore.
We know, every one of us, that in the end all will be well, for God will care for us and give us victory and peace. And when peace comes, remember, it will be for us, the children of today, to make the world of tomorrow a better and happier place.
It's fascinating not only how accents have changed across the country, but how the accent of an individual who's been obviously broadcasting for a very long time has noticeably changed.
Have you ever been tempted to change a little?
No, I think I speak in the way my father spoke, who probably spoke in the way his father spoke, no doubt with other influences coming in. And I'm sure one's own accent evolves. And as I don't like listening to my own voice on recordings, I don't really know how much it's evolved.
But having known your father a little as well, I think you sound exactly like him, yeah.
Yes, and I think that's probably true in most families, that people speak in the way that their parents speak. But you've got an expert there who I would...
Yeah, well, exactly. Johnny, is that right? Do we change?
Yes, I mean, our biggest early influence on our speech is our parents, and then it's our peer group at school, and then we all gradually change over life.
Where did RP come from, and why received pronunciation?
Well, received pronunciation means same in the phrase received wisdom, so sort of handed down across the generations. And the accent itself emerged about 200, 250 years ago in the boarding schools and then was perpetuated at places like Oxford and Cambridge. Prior to that, even the landed gentry would have spoken with something approximating a relatively mild regional accent, depending on where they grew up.
So would Jacob's delivery have been completely acceptable 200 years ago?
It would have been a very strange version to most people, simply because it's a modern RP. So RP 200 years ago would have sounded very different to the way Jacob speaks.
Right.
But then I think its heyday was when the BBC adopted as the broadcast voice, and therefore it has become an incredibly familiar voice. It's associated with authority for many people.
Yeah, all our prime ministers. Well
absolutely. I mean,
for
in
a very
my
long
lifetime,
time.
In my lifetime, only two prime ministers haven't spoken RP. I mean, our current
Harold
prime
Wilson.
Minister... Yes, and Gordon Brown. The rest have all spoken RP, but all of them have spoken a slightly different version of RP. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we think of Edward Heath, his RP might sound quite old-fashioned now compared with, say, Theresa May's, which is still RP.
It seemed to me we had to find a solution to our economic problems, and I didn't believe that the solution was for the state to take over the running of the economy.
When we take the big calls, we'll think not of the powerful, but you. When we pass new laws, we'll listen not to the mighty, but to you.
Like any other accent, it's evolved over time, but the further back in time you go, then it would sound very different from previous versions of RP.
They dug out very cruelly a bit of me talking. They claim I sounded posh. I don't know. You'll have to be the judge of this.
Okay.
A Canadian Conservative expressed the view a few days ago that nothing was royal in Canada anymore except somebody's pudding. Well, it's true that the symbols of monarchy are fast disappearing in this country as doubts have arisen over its role. But in the last couple of weeks, Canadians have seen plenty of the crown in the person of the Queen and Prince Philip, and the reaction seems to have removed many of the doubts.
Well, yes. Apart from the fact that that is deeply embarrassing. Go on. And why am I embarrassed by that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Horrible. I sounded stilted and prissy, and I think I was doing it because I didn't want to sound like a Cardiff boy. But go on, Johnny.
Well, I think one of the interesting things that you did do that might make you sound different to nowadays is you said disappearing with it's called a tapped R.
Right.
Which is quite an old-fashioned RP feature. It still exists in other accents, but I'm not aware of you doing that now. And I think the other thing that possibly you might have changed is that you said crown when referring to what linguists call the mouth vowel. I suspect you now have a more crown rather than crown pronunciation.
It's a fascinating subject, isn't it? Jacob, maybe a final word from you about where you think this will go. I mean, you have many children. I'm told I'm going to have many more. I don't know about that. But anyway...
I don't know about that. I think Mrs. Rees-Mogg might have something to say about that. But
I just wonder whether you'd expect them to be speaking the way you talk today in 20 years' time.
Well, it just occurred to me that if I speak in the way my father did, my children speak like me, by the time they're 80, their accent will be 160 years old, and therefore maybe incomprehensible to anybody outside the Rees-Mogg family. So perhaps they'd better moderate it a bit.
Jacob and Johnny, thank you both very much indeed.